Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, welcome back. Excuse me. And as I say, it's now or never, and every once in a while I start off a little reintroduction or defend myself and why I say it is now or never. And technically, over the past couple of days, we kind of wandered down a long discourse of why it is so important to recognize that it is now or never, that we're in these points of these last days of being able to get organized. There is no just add water strategy. It takes time to learn. It takes time to understand. You know, and those of you, you know, that know people that say, you know, I'm just leaving it to the Lord. I'm just, you know, I'm going to try to do everything good that I possibly can. Those, if you understand the parable of the talents, those are the people that have buried their talents and have refused to actually go and magnify them to make more out of what they've been given. And so they just accept how things are, and that's really how it all started on Monday and how we kind of went through in, you know, in discussing and or my lecturing or maybe pontificating. I don't know. I definitely not pontificating, but you understand my point, that I, you know, kept on going on and on, harping, haranguing about understanding the truth and how we were being attacked, how the Patriot movement is being attacked. The Patriot movement has been under attack for decades. Now, I believe that every good Patriot organization that has been created, that has been running for a long time, especially when it goes from its founder to its board. Let's just say 9 times out of 10, people create a foundation, you know, like the John Birch Society. And when the person that created that, you know, kind of moves it to a board and it gets bigger and bigger, and they finally step away, and I'll call it retire, because it becomes a full-time job. That's how they make their living. And the day they go from doing good things to, you know, and being activists to becoming money-making and, you know, having benefits and a retirement and all of that type of stuff, they literally change and morph into an organization that is no longer focused on really the truth. It is focused on its relevance, its self-relevance, and growing itself. They try to use the truth, but they get trapped. It's like the preacher who has to make money and is dependent on the parishioners to provide for them. There is a huge difference between a preacher that makes his own money, has his own source of income, and goes in and it doesn't matter what goes into that plate. It will not affect his sermons. And if you understand what I just said, that's the same thing with patriotic organizations. The exact same thing. When the patriotic organization is dependent on money, they start morphing and start saying things that are acceptable so that they can obtain and maintain some level of credibility and so forth. They get sold out. And so bottom line, when I look at some of these other organizations and people I'm working with, these founders, John Durash, Bob Schultz, and so forth, Mark Lerner, many of these folks, all of these folks, are still clinging to the truth. And none of these organizations have become, you know, chasing their tail self-relevant. They're ideologues. And when these ideologues become successful, if they've done that, that hasn't happened. I mean, they're successful in their argument and their subject matter excellence, but and expertise, but they're not they are not successful in a commercial endeavor. So, in other words, they're still living a life of humility, and they enjoy the blessings that come from that. Now, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to help, and what I'm trying to do is try to help you understand how important it is that everybody has to go down this path. And I'm trying my best not to be, you know, it has to come from me. I don't want you to, you know, be dependent on me. I believe that if you actually obtain the truth, you know, then where we differ becomes less and less and less and less. And the closer we get to understanding the Constitution, the ratification debates, and how it was defined and all of that, then the more and more and more we agree. And I love that. And that's what we need, because we don't need a bunch of GRs out there. We need people that are repeaters, teachers. We need leaders that of leading on the truth, teaching the truth, and repeating the truth. And so, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get a movement going that is a societal movement, not an individual or organizational movement. And I'm trying to say this so that you understand why ReclaimingTheRepublic.org is not really an organization. It is a model or a paradigm for all people and all organizations to migrate towards, so that we all obtain the true liberty that we all need to actualize our potential. How is it a person or organization can obtain its true potential? To actualize its true potential, it needs liberty to do so. And so hopefully this starts to make sense. So as we go down this path of discovering the truth, you know, this is really not GR's truth. This is God's truth. This is God's glory. This is His work. And I want to make sure you understand that. I'm still learning. I am still learning. As a matter of fact, every once in a while I do, you know, and it's not even rare. I still run into people who give me information that I go, wow. Okay. And I, when you get to this point where you start understanding the truth, then when you receive truth from somebody else, it just, you recognize how that actually fits. And you're not even surprised. Like, I didn't know about common law. I didn't really understand common law until I really started working with John Duresh and understanding how common law is critical and important to, you know, restoring the republic. But it was just one small little facet. And it's another one of those things that have to be a part of reclaiming the republic. Reclaiming the republic was just literally Madison and Jefferson's process of how to restore everything. But some of these little things that are nuances that are not really clear in the Constitution, like common law that has been lost, must be understood as well. So it's the same thing with the First Amendment petition that Bob Schultz is focused on. It's the same thing with some of the things that the government is doing on the side that is a usurpation built upon usurpations of other usurpations, which is called the Real ID Act, which is the Constitutional Alliance's focus in stopping Big Brother or the Mark of the Beast from becoming central to the United States and our government and our society. These people are great, honorable men. I am so humbled to be able to work with these guys. And I believe that they probably feel the same way of all the people that they work with too. What we have to do is we have to make sure we maintain our humility. We all, as we start discovering the truth, have to realize that we're all riding on the shoulders of giants. And so, because nothing is really unique. Everything has just, it has all been done in the very beginning, and it has been done before. It has even been done here on this earth. And so what I want to do at this point is I want to move forward. I do want to remind you, because I haven't said this in a couple of days, that within the next month or so, as soon as I get over a lot of the things I need to do, doing this show takes a lot of time. And sitting down and recording the show and then editing, when I edit, I only edit the sound. If you hear me make mistakes, coughs, excuse me, what have you, and so forth, then you go, okay, well, obviously he's not editing that type of stuff. I don't have the time to do that. If I needed a perfect show of entertainment like you hear, then you'd actually hear people do takes and takes, and live entertainment takes a lot of skill. And so basically what I'm doing is just like live entertainment. I mean, I'm not going back and saying, we got to, you know, it's cut, let's start all over again. I don't do that. I never do that. So even when I have interruptions, it becomes a kind of an awkward point in the show. And I hate that, which is one of the reasons why I don't have phones. And so hopefully anybody that's dealing with me, and they, you know, just so they understand that my environment, I don't want to have email in my studio, because when an email pops in, what happens? It becomes a distraction. I go, oh, somebody asking a question. What is it they want? You really have to be focused on what you're trying to cover. And so it's easy enough to get distracted by, you know, just doing things in an office or even at home where somebody could walk by and distract you. I mean, if you've seen those studios with windows and so forth, we'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we were going into break, I was trying to tell you that, you know, even in a radio studio, when they have the, you know, like we have watched the TV show Frasier, if you've ever been to the radio studios, you could actually see these hosts like sitting in this little cage, this cube with windows, where they're talking along and so forth, where, you know, somebody can, you know, get their attention, but not necessarily, you know that they've got their attention, where they just say 5 minutes, or you got an emergency, or, you know, whatever their sign language. The point is, I don't even want those types of interruptions. I don't like them because it has an effect on my ability to maintain my, you know, my my course of thought, what I want to talk about, what I want to do. And, you know, there's many people that will actually read their monologues. I think Bill O'Reilly is one of those guys that actually spends a lot of time in reading what he wants to hit. And I just go, you know, maybe it might be arrogant of me, so forgive me if that's the case, because it's not a bragging point. It's I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to make this show a commercial success. But I do have the time to spend to help this show become a fulcrum in your community. And when I say fulcrum, and if you understand lever and a fulcrum, you understand you have to have a fulcrum to get the advantage point to be able to move something in your community, to use a lever to move something, right? And so a radio show can be the fulcrum to help moving people and getting them organized and so forth. So we want to use Reclaiming the Republic, not as a commercial endeavor, which is why we want to take this show and air it in your local area where you can do a follow-on show, or whoever's taking the lead in the area, you could do the follow-on show to say, okay, folks, you know, these are the petitions. Because I'll go through the content, and I'll get to that point where all of a sudden I don't have to do that. When we have hosts that are actually able to do all of that themselves, then they kind of go into an automatic pilot. I mean, then I'm really... My show could actually be cut off, and there'll be places that will, you know, be, let's call it weaning. I am trying to get myself to wean myself off of, you know, you being dependent. So the only way to do that is to constantly cover this stuff. And as you start understanding this stuff, and if you've been with me for a year or two or three, and you start going, wow, you know, I'm really seeing this, because it takes time. It does take time. You know, knowledge isn't gained in this massive data dump. Like, even if you watch a Vulcan mind meld, they at least take some time for the data to travel. And if anybody that understands the movement of data, it takes time. So people start realizing, oh, okay, so we can equate to this, even to in an Archean sense of commerce, of transporting commerce, takes time. Content, commerce, it's all the same thing. And so we understand that there is no 90-second elevator pitch that will actually get you into, you know, understanding everything profoundly to where all of a sudden you have the ability. Only our Lord has that ability to basically lay his hands upon you and instantly fill you with the Spirit, where the Spirit speaks through you and all of that. Only he has that. And when that happens, you know, I'm going to step back. Because, you know, obviously the message is far more important than anything I have to say, or at least anything I'm aware of. And I can tell you, and if any of you have been raising children, or you have children, or in a marriage, and or a very serious relationship, and are very spiritual, then you probably have witnessed the Spirit filling your mind and filling your mouth with the words of what needs to be said. And that's a testament that sometimes we don't need to have the full understanding for the given moment, because of the severity of the times, because of the exigencies, like your child, you know, at real risk and danger, because of your love for that child and your desire to protect that child, you're filled with the Spirit of saying things that you never knew you could say. And next thing you know, that child realizes and goes, wow. So anyway, let's get into the review, though, because I don't want to go through on and on and on and on about, you know, how important it is for you to start leading, how important it is for you to be the one to actually help other people receive the truth and become deliverers. You know, this is all about training the trainer. This is all about, you know, sharing and delegating and getting everybody to begin leading. We need leaders in every level. We need people to actually think for themselves and make the best decisions and then follow follow leadership from on high, especially when we know what they're doing actually synchronizes and it embraces the common core values of truth, the common values of what we are really doing. And so anyway, let me just do a quick review, because what I want to do is kind of review what we've covered so far in the strategy. Why go through the strategy? Why go through this discussion of things that are violations? Why go through the Constitution? So why read the Constitution every year? Because it gives me an opportunity to actually point out every year, and this past year, 2022, I actually went through and highlighted and reaffirmed what parts of the Constitution were being violated and how severely those violations were. And also, so if you want to get the color-coded Constitution, it's out on Reclaiming the Republic. It's on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. Just click on the button. The site menu is on the right-hand side. The button will be on the right. So the things that we've covered so far, and we've always start with probably the most important stuff, is definitizing the Constitution, creating a foundation of operation. We have to first prove what the Constitution is, and then we have to point to all of the lies that are out there that are undermining our Constitution, which is why definitizing it is paramount, because this is what helps. You know what? If you start understanding the Constitution and you have a framers' paradigm, you will no longer be susceptible to, you know, these assemblies and committees of safety. You'll no longer be buying into the fact that, you know, we actually, you know, fall under the Magna Carta and we have to assert our rights under the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta is something that was incorporated and moved into the Bill of Rights, the Glorious Bill of Rights, and then it was moved into the Declaration, that was moved into this thing we called the Articles of Confederation, and then of Association, and then the Articles of Confederation, and then the Constitution. We've evolved to this point that everything that we have that protects us is now under the Constitution. There's no need to invoke anything under the Bill of Rights or under the, when I say the Bill of Rights, the English Bill of Rights, or invoke anything under the English Magna Carta. Our system is completely different. We don't have a system that has general powers. We have a system that has enumerated powers. So quit thinking of the Bill of Rights as the most important part of the Constitution. It's not. These are just further declaratory reservations or further declarations of restrictions being placed. Additional, instead of enumerated powers, these are restrictions, additional restrictions that they can't even think or say these words that talk about the press or the freedom of religion and so forth. And the fact that they use the Bill of Rights as something to leverage into, this is actually repugnant, that they look at, you know, oh, well, you can go to court over a right of privacy so they can make laws of privacy. They shall make no law. They shall not even entertain what you're doing, whether you can do it or whether you can't do it. Because the fact that every time they go down that, every time they they actually go down those things with their jurisdiction, they always tread and assume and usurp powers that they should never have had. And that's why the Bill of Rights really was a very dangerous thing for the federal government. And the lack of a Bill of Rights at the state level was really problematic. And that was Madison's point. But anyway, so definitizing the Constitution helps us kind of understand all of those things and understand, what more importantly, the enumerations in the Constitution. That's what we have to cling to. And then we can start understanding that if it's not delegated in that Constitution, they can't even meddle with it. It'd be great to get to a point where we no longer have to abide by, at the federal level, a Bill of Rights. That we function and we think and contain them into this concept of this enumerated roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties. That when we get to the states, now we actually need to make sure that they can't do anything other than what's enumerated as well. Do we need a Bill of Rights? I say not. I say we need to understand what powers, roles, and responsibilities have been delegated and hold them to that. We don't need bills of rights. We don't need Magna Cartas. We just have to teach our children to be vigilant on the enumerations within our constitutions. So, definitizing the Constitution and then enforcing that is why it is so important that we teach that as a part of the strategy. That is the foundation of everything. And so from there, we can create petitions of what we have to do to get that ball moving of definitizing the Constitution and enforcing it. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the next thing that we covered after definitizing the Constitution and the enforcement of the Constitution was republicanism. And this is another one of those, quote-unquote, you know, giving you the air quotes here, this is one of those things that came across really ambiguous, that we needed to learn what and based on the government that the framers created, it wasn't your standard Republican form of government. And there was a level of complexity that eluded a lot of people. People didn't understand this design of the Senate. Now, the people that are really anti-17th Amendment, I mean wrongly anti-17th Amendment, is that they believe that the states lost their sovereignty because of the 17th Amendment. No, the states lost their representation in Congress, but they didn't lose any sovereignty. In other words, they lost their voice, they lost their suffrage when it came down to the roles and responsibilities and powers that were delegated specifically to the Senate to help ensure the interests of the states were always being considered and protected. So understanding republicanism and our American form of republicanism was really critical. So kind of teaching you this, because this is something that so many people are ignorant on. And, you know, there's no, the problem we have, and the problem I have, is that there's nobody that wrote a book on the new revolution of republicanism, not that I'm aware of. If you know anybody that really wrote a book that discusses the details of bicameral legislation of both the Congress and at the state level, why did the states have bicameral legislative bodies? Because when we moved forward, it was the counties that started creating the states, and therefore the counties were the parties to those compacts. And therefore, they were the ones that had the say, and it didn't take long when everybody realized, no, let's not teach people all of this because, you know, having more power at a general government level is better for all of us. And so let's not delegate power all the way down to the county. So the federal government started basically getting the states to ignore the sovereignty of the counties. It didn't have, it was not too far out the gate when they started perverting these things. But the essence and the design of this American republicanism is clearly a divine nature because it becomes a greater check on government. You have to understand, the better we can control government as, you know, by the law of the land, then the less government can become corrupt. That design was so divine because only he knew, you know, we all know this, but he truly knows the hearts of man. And he truly knows what our weaknesses are. And he truly knew that we were incapable of even creating something like this. So he had to take these innocent men that were so good-natured and inspired them to create this system that blew them away. And as they saw it and understood it, one of Madison's mistakes is that the Constitution was not perfect. But it wasn't perfect in its form. It was perfect in its form, I'm saying. But it wasn't perfect in some parts of the Constitution that could have easily been removed. And therefore, what we would have had would have been a perfect Constitution. And the one thing that was in the Constitution that should have been removed was slavery. It should never have existed in the Constitution. It should never have appeased and allowed the states to maintain slavery. It should have actually created a land of true liberty. That was the one thing and I think that's the one thing that Madison knew and understood, that it was imperfect. So anybody that listens and sees Madison says that, then maybe he was thinking that there were other parts that weren't necessarily perfect. And maybe he saw something that I don't see. Well, actually, there may be some parts. You know, I like the 30,000. I think the amendment that he wrote regarding the apportionment was one of those things that needed to change. So he saw those types of things as well. But these men were brilliant. These men were brilliant because, I mean, let me go back to that point I made earlier. That as a parent, when you're parenting a child and your love and your concern for them and, you know, protecting them and all of those things, you are overcome by the Spirit in saying things. Is that not a learning moment for yourself as well? And so every time you receive inspiration, are you not also being taught at that same point in time? Yes, you are. And so there's no doubt in my mind, these men, you know, the more they were inspired, the more they were taught. And I think that Madison was probably one of the most profoundly taught, literate men of the time. Hamilton was definitely one of the most literate men at the time, but because of his participation at the Constitutional Convention and because of his paradigms, I think that was one of the reasons why he was distracted and didn't spend much time, wasn't engaged. He didn't allow himself to be inspired. And, you know, he had some shortcomings. You know, none of us are perfect, but I do see that Madison was head and shoulders above almost all of our framers. And I think even Jefferson recognized the greatness that Madison had become, which is one of the reasons why he clung close to Madison. And he had Madison do most of his work because Madison was that brilliant in crafting his arguments and so forth. I mean, you know, Jefferson, you know, had it pretty easy because of Madison in some ways. But they both, it was definitely a mutually benefiting relationship. But anyway, going back to the strategy, so covering American republicanism and a republican form of government is very, very critical. And how, you know, it affects the little parts in the Constitution that we need to point out, bicameral legislative body, electoral college, and our elections process of this form of republicanism, lobbyists and representation and access to our representatives is a part of this as well. Understanding how our government must function in this hybrid or this new evolutionary republican form of government that we call American republicanism, and how voting in a republican form of government such as America, you know, is falling short. So we're pointing out all of these different things that are falling short based on this design of American republicanism. So we have to review this so that we can point out how these petitions will help us restore American republicanism to where we recognize the sovereignty of not just the individuals, but of the governments we create, and how we can't have it both ways. If we demand that only the people are the sovereigns, then it pushes us into a democracy. It pushes us into a democracy, more of a democracy form of government than a true republican form of government. The truest and the purest republican form of government has been and has been created and has been operated here in our government and only our government. No other government on the face of the earth has ever had this. And this is the one thing that makes it unique, and this is what everybody agrees upon when they really stand back and they look at it and go, oh my gosh, that is a huge transition from the standard forms of republicanism to a newer understanding of sovereignty. And they go hand in hand, folks. The next part that we covered was the reinforcing of property rights and how we have to go back to really understanding what our properties are. This is why I take the time and I read and I remind people of that very special line of Madison's when he talked about property, that it can be said that you have rights, you know, in your property. It can be equally said that you have property in your rights. And we really focus on this so that we can start understanding how we actually, in the formation of our government, we have property rights in our government. And we have to start covering those types of things, because then we can start covering how it is important that we use petitions to go after the protection of all of these property rights, just like the petitions over republicanism, just like petitions over the definitizing of the Constitution. As we create the petitions, we're going to help educate people on these principles that they have never been taught before. This is how you get people. We don't want a few people to have an understanding of a theoretical understanding. We want people to have a working understanding to move this government back to the way it was designed. I mean, I know lots of people that have read, you know, W. Cleon Skounce's 5,000-Year Leap, and he talks about principles. But he doesn't teach anybody how and what it takes to get this government back to where it needs to be. Even he himself said that he fell short in that, and that he was hoping that his next book would take us to that, and then he died. So I don't know why. I have no idea, and I don't understand, you know, why the Lord has blessed me. And this goes down to this humbling thing, and I'm going to get caught going into a whirlpool of these emotions and things that, you know, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that we're working together and that we're all taking this mantle and we're all moving forward. This is a unifying call. This is not follow me, GR. This is, we all have to lead. We all have to move. This is a unified effort. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just go forward because I don't want to keep on harping about it because I really don't want it to be about me. And I don't want to be, you know, having served in the military and having people, you know, being called sirs and having superiority and having, you know, superiors and inferiors and, you know, privates and, you know, the bottom of the food chain and having a food chain form of life in that type of society, it really just put I think something bitter in my craw of, you know, having a society that recognizes that there are people that are superior. I think that bothered Washington as well. Washington understood its implications and its importance in a military form, but he did not understand that in a civilian form, which is one of the reasons why he was very suppressed as a private citizen. And he took real offense. I mean, some of the insights that one can gain in, you know, looking and understanding Washington was that he really took offense, you know, over these people that he didn't have this level of authority and power over that came with the military structure. And so, you know, he may have enjoyed the fact of being an officer, of being called sir and, you know, having that due respect, air quotes there. But myself, I believe that it doesn't take much flattery for a person to start believing that they're better than somebody else. And so every once in a while, I don't say this all the time, but I know I've probably said it in the past 6 months, past year or so, and it comes out that I'm very, very sensitive to flattery. And I know that there's lots of people that, you know, have come to me to make comments and so forth, and they kind of tiptoe because they know how sensitive I am. And that's really humbling. And I can't tell you how humbling it is and how thankful I am. How thankful I am for you. And when I say how thankful I am for you, for all of you that are doing what you can not because of me, but how thankful I am that you're doing it because of the greater cause, for the greater good, for him. Because that's how we need to be doing this. We need to be doing this for him, for his wisdom and for his guidance, that we can actually restore liberty based on his design. And so I'm just the guy that's out there, and it's so humbling. And this is what started this whole, my trip down this hole, is that it's very humbling when, you know, you realize your uniqueness and why did you give me this blessing? Now, the greatest sin, and going back to the lesson of the talents, the greatest sin is to bury the talents that we were blessed with. And so, or maybe that's not the greatest sin, but it's a bad one. Because look at what the Lord did with those who buried their talents and with those who actually did everything they could to magnify their talents and to obtain greater gain from them, you know, in his cause, and to do those things for him, not for themselves. And so, in other words, being good, humble servants. We all have to be that way. So if there's anything I'm really trying to do, folks, I'm trying to be an example of being a good, humble servant. So when I talk to representatives, I constantly tell them, I am your humble servant. You know, and many of them, you know, will give me due respect. And I acknowledge that, and I truly appreciate that. But I don't require that. I don't deserve that. You know, I don't know if any man walking on the earth deserves that level of respect and that type of thing. I think that, you know, we all have to acknowledge that we all fall short. But anyway, I'm still climbing out of this rat hole. And I'm trying to impart, when I say, you know, how humble I am and how thankful I am for the opportunities, I'm only trying to share the fact that I'm not here because it makes me feel better. I do enjoy, I appreciate the times that I get when I am able to, you know, help others. I appreciate that. Boy, do I love the opportunity to be able to, you know, engage with other people and be able to, you know, help them become, to reach their potential, that they can do the same things. You know, that is probably one of the most satisfying, you know, as a child, some of the most important lessons that we learn, and this is how I'm going to get out of this hole, some of the most important lessons that we learn is doing things for ourselves. And the best lessons a parent can teach a child is self, you know, self-worth, self, you know, independence and self-dependence. I'm depending on oneself instead of others. And so if we start doing that, and we start helping everybody to actually become, you know, partakers in, you know, leading and partakers in unifying, and we all cling and we all harshly cling to the truth. And when I say harshly, I mean jealously cling to the truth, to where it's not about our interpretation, it is about the truth. Not what we believe or not what we were told. We have to quickly be able to back up and say, you know what? I never thought of it that way. You know, I think you're bringing something great to the table here. We can't just go, oh, well, that's what GR said, or that's how I've learned it. You know, we have to actually be very open, because when the truth comes, we have to accept it if it is the truth. And it fits. You can see it. You can recognize it. I mean, the scripture even say that you can always know God. He is our God because he is consistent. It would be deception if he came along amongst us and, you know, in a different form, told us he was our God with different principles and things that weren't consistent. If we see those things, then that's how we know that that's not our God. That's not him. I mean, these are the things he's taught us to help recognize what the truth is, who he is. Anyway, so it's so humbling to have this opportunity, but I just want you to know I am the blessed one because I've been able to work with you. I am the one that is blessed in being able to see your successes because your successes are our successes. And I don't see mine or ours as an organization, humanity's, because we're doing this for a much greater cause than just for an organization or just for the group or just for America. It's for all of humanity. The Constitution was bestowed upon mankind, not for just the people who lived in North America. There's no doubt in my mind the Lord had much grander schemes of liberty than to just bless the people that lived within the geographical region on North America and these few remote other areas of the earth. I believe he wants all the people on earth to have and enjoy true liberty. And so anyway, let me get back to what we're covering, and because I'm running out of time. I got 2 minutes. So we've covered the Republican form of government. We've covered the property rights. And in going through the property rights, we covered money as a fundamental property right. We covered the right of conscience as a fundamental property right. And each of these different fundamental property rights that we kind of cover in our society that we've developed both, you know, from the beginning and in the inner workings of our form of government, like state rights, state property rights, you know, personal property rights, the identity, your identity rights, you know, and the intellectual property rights of a person. And so the last, you know, the last thing we kind of covered, we covered the petitions and all of those things. But the last thing we really covered is where I went off on Snowden and how we needed to take back the right and the ownership of our own national security, that we need to be able to, you know, hold government accountable when they are doing things regarding national security. There's no such thing as it's not your business. We're in charge of this. We're in charge of that Constitution, which means we're in charge of you. And when you start spying on us and you start doing things that you have no authority to do, then we actually have the full control over you to get you back into what we have delegated to you. We made you, and we can change you or get rid of you. These are fundamental principles that go all the way back to the Declaration of Independence and go back to the creation of society. These are inalienable rights that were articulated by that great man, Thomas Jefferson. And so, as we kind of covered, as I've talked about the very last part of what we covered out of the Bill of Rights for the 21st century, what we now need to do is really we need to cover common law and what we have to do to restore common law. And I've told you, I'm not a subject matter expert on common law. I really rely on other people. And I am so thankful that I have the expertise because common law is a very deep subject. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time, you know, back to even before Moses. And so we want to get into this concept of how to hold government accountable. And common law was the legal system of doing that. How those who governed us, how we would hold them accountable if they were not abiding by God's law. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We'll get into common law tomorrow. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.